Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart-loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight, and let's go.
Here we go! Wednesday, March 25th, 2026. Thank you for downloading. It is travel day for yours truly, so this episode has been safely recorded and put in the can. We got Armin and we got Butchie coming on in just a second. Armin will be out there, we hope, today on Wednesday. He's flying Frontier, and he's flying Frontier out of Chicago. 50-50 chance he's there by tip time on Thursday, but Armin, we're rooting for you. Couple things to get to. I got some listener email, and then we'll get to Butchie and Armin talking tournament and more. Let me start with this TSA thing. Of course it is an abomination and an outrage and a joke. And I'm not going to get into who's to blame, although generally speaking, the way it works is the minority party, the party out of power, that then throws a monkey wrench into the functioning of this country to try to exert political pressure for their pet things. They're the ones that get blamed. That's how it is when the Republicans are the minority. So it should be pinned directly on the Democrats. But let's forget who's to blame here. This is no way to run a country. This is no way anything should work. The fact that there are TSA lines lasting upwards, according to reports, of 8 hours down in places like Houston. It's insane. Now, there's a tiny little step in the right direction of sanity from Delta Airlines. Atlanta's been bad as well. And by the way, I know why there's call-outs, mass call-outs, because the TSA agents have not been paid. And I do sympathize. They don't deserve to have to wait and say, we're good for it. We'll hey pal you later on. Don't worry, we'll get you back pay as soon as the government spigot is back up and running. That's bullshit. But there's a lot of airports where they're not calling out sick because I don't know what they're entitled to when it comes to staying on the job, even though they're not getting a paycheck. I don't want to get into the weeds on that. All I know is it's complete bullshit, and I'm as pissed off about it in general as anyone else, and I've not stood in a line for one hot second now. Of course, I'm worried about tomorrow, but thankfully, when it comes to good old Gronk, I just typed in, how are TSA wait times at IAD the last few days, are they bad? And it gave me an answer that was robust and full of direct reports and time-stamped. Multiple real-time accounts from today, March 24th, describe zero or near zero lines at IAD checkpoints, with travelers breezing through in under 10 minutes, including some noting it felt like nothing unusual. Okay, let's hope that's the case tomorrow morning. But anyway, here's one little thing that hopefully can push back against this. Delta Airlines, headquartered in Atlanta, announced this week that it's suspending its standalone service for members of Congress until the TSA is fully funded. In other words, our elected fucking idiots of all parties, oh, they don't stand in line? Well, I thought they went through CLEAR or TSA No, they have their own special lane. And now Delta said, yeah, fuck that, because we're dealing with your incompetence at ground level with pissed off people standing in line for up to 8 hours. Delta will temporarily suspend specialty services to members of Congress flying Delta. Next to safety, Delta's number one priority is taking care of our people and customers, which has become increasingly difficult in the current environment. Why temporary? Yank it for good, for God's sakes. And the next thing is, say to everyone in Congress, okay, keep fucking around, and you're going to find out. We'll put you on the no-fly list. How about them apples? Huh? And get used to driving around the country or paying out of your pocket to fly private. I know it'll never happen, but still. A spokesperson for Delta told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that House and Senate members will now be treated like all flying passengers according to their SkyMile status. In other words, just like you and me. Oh, God, I hope that happens. I hope they're sitting somewhere in a huge line and finally feel some of the pain they're inflicting on everyone else. Super Bowl, what number are we on? Well, the one that's coming up in 2028, which is a crazy number. I never thought we'd see it. 2028. It's only 2 years away. The Super Bowl in 2028, which will be in Atlanta, does not have a date yet. And that is unusual, because inside of 2 years, even though they know the city, they know basically when the game is going to be. The actual date is pretty important. People do start planning out quite a bit. Pablo Torre finds out had Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, on to discuss why this is significant.
The NFL's perspective, Mike, what's it like on Park Avenue in that fancy building as they're seeing everything and now hearing the conversation we've had about what it's really like allegedly inside of the Union's building?
It's almost like the NFLPA is being run like the Lord of the Flies. And a battleship is about to pull up to the island with the NFL shield flying from the mast, because they're not ready for what's coming next. And I think from the league's perspective, number one, they have been sitting back and they have been waiting for the NFLPA to get their act together. And we mentioned Lord Howell earlier. I think if he had not resigned when he did, they would have mobilized by now. The NFL is clearly in deal-making mode. They're talking to CBS about extending their broadcast deal. They're going to move, I believe, to Fox after that. And a lot of this is based on the reporting of people who cover that side of the business very intensely, and also other things that
they're going to go knocking on every network's door, move to Fox, like the fucking mafia. Pay up.
Package holders, streamers are going to get involved. They're trying to get deals done. I think that now that J.C. Treader is back as the executive director, the NFL is going to move quickly and discreetly and secretly to try to get something done. And this is where it becomes kind of speculation, but it's informed by 25 years of doing this, please, the pattern, the practices. I think that they're going to go to J.C. Treader and they are going to lay out a new CBA that is premised upon, above all else, an 18-game regular season, 16 international games per year. Robert Kraft has already talked openly and nonchalantly about this is how it's going to be. Not this is what we want. This is how it's going to be. And I think that's important because that's the attitude that is going to be projected to J.C. Tretter. Hey, J.C., this is how it's going to be. We can do it the easy way. We can do it the hard way. We're going to make you an offer right now that is going to be better than any offer we're going to make later. And if we have to lock you out, if you make us wait until after the 2030 season and we lock you out for all of the offseason and eventually the players cry uncle because they will, because they won't want to miss a game check, we'll gladly sit out the whole season. I think it's going to move faster than anyone realizes because, and this is the key, the Super Bowl to be played in Atlanta in February of 2028 does not have a date yet for the game, which less than 2 years from the game is unheard of. They're keeping the date open because they're holding out for the possibility that there will be an 18-game season by 2027.
Interesting. And I think Florio is spot on. The way it's looking right now, this union, which was already the weakest in all of pro sports, now even worse because of their clown shoe directors, the last couple. They are like a car stuck on the train tracks. And here comes the NFL. Choo-choo! If they push it, the league is going to blow this union apart. So yeah, Tretter ought to try to get a deal sooner rather than later. But we shall see. Providence introduced their new head coach, Brian Hodgson. He is a very good coach who is on the up and come. Is that even a phrase, on the up and come? Hodgson was at Arkansas State and then most recently at University of South Florida, where he took the Bulls to the 2026 dance. And when it comes to introductory pressers, Coach Hodgson had one of the all-time mic drop, walk-off, flex quotes of all time, when he said the following.
I want to thank my family. Steve talked about it. My better half, my beautiful spouse here, Jordan, my son, Jet, who you'll hear plenty throughout this speech. If you ever want to question my recruiting abilities, just take a look at my wife, Jordan.
I mean, look, she is an absolute super tanned, skinny little baddie with piercing blue eyes, long black hair. And for Hodgson himself, I mean, he's kind of a little bit of a weird looking guy. He's got a bit of a widow's peak hairline. He's got a big old beard that's mostly under his chin. It's a low center of gravity beard, big athletic guy. But yeah, that's a flex right there. People are going to be Googling his wife and how they met. Apparently, she was like an undergrad when he was a 30-year-old coach. Or not undergrad, she was like a graduate student. So not claiming there was anything illegal or untoward, but yeah. Good for Coach Hodgson. Now, win games. The Masters is coming up. I'm sure you've heard that. It's quite the tournament. They have quite the merchandise operation. I've been there, seen that, done it. Bought the stuff. They let you go into their merch tent, which is, of course, incredible. It's not even a tent. It's a pavilion. It's a huge store. The prices of their logoed merchandise are not outrageous because the Masters does have a sense of decorum and they don't want to gouge. And they let you take what you've bought, take it to a separate desk where they efficiently, I mean, they move you through. They efficiently take your stuff, take your address, and they say, here, for this amount of money, $15-$20, we'll mail it to you. So now you can go back and enjoy the rest of the fine azaleas out there. And of course, when it comes to golf collectibles and paraphernalia and clothing and accessories, oh, it's limitless, the kind of shit that people will buy and that is sold. And the biggest hit with the Masters merchandise is their garden gnome. That's right. A little tiny gnome, about a foot tall, that you could put in your own garden and go annoy friends and neighbors who come over to have a cup of coffee on a spring day. Hey, look at that. Look at the cute little Masters guy. Isn't that cute? I got him. I got him at the Masters. I call him Harry. And the reason I do that, just shoot me now. I don't want to hear about your stupid garden gnome. But they become so popular that they've had to limit the sales. They have a limited number every year. This is the Cabbage Patch doll of sports collectibles at the Masters. Well, this year is going to be even more nuts because the garden gnome comes with a working Masters umbrella. I'm looking at it right now. You can actually fold this little thing up and then wrap it up in a little band, and then you can take it out of his hand, put it right side up, pop it open, and put it in his hand, and then sit there looking out your window as the rain comes down at your silly little Masters gnome. Listen, whatever makes people happy. ESPN's going to launch a documentary about the origins of ESPN. I got a title for it. You want to hear it? When This Channel Used to Be Good. When SportsCenter didn't suck. It's got the pre-crazy Keith Olbermann, who seemed to like sports back then, and the iconic Dan Patrick, good, as the front men for this documentary. As always, I'll watch it. Last thing before we get to Butchie and Armin. I've said something like this should have been done for a while, but I don't know, nobody listened to me or the economy of it wasn't very good. I said I would pay full price of a coach seat if they made a seat and a half. In other words, a first-class width of seat. It's just not in first class. I don't care about the food or the service. I just don't want to be shoulder-to-shoulder with some jamoke in the middle. And so I'm like, okay, if I paid $500 for this round-trip ticket, I'll happily pay $750 if you would just cut the middle seat in half. Give me a seat and a half. That's not been done, but United has done something else which is going to get people's heads turning. It's called the Relax Row. Three adjacent United economy seats with adjustable leg rests that can be raised or lowered to create a full-blown lie-flat space for stretching out. Whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult, you can have a row all to your own. Now, I know you want me to zoom ahead all the details and go, how much? How much? I'll buy that. How much? It's a lot. But let me get to this first. One person on Twitter who covers the airline industry says, the most profitable seat on a 787 isn't business class. It is three economy seats with a $40 mattress pad. That's what United has figured out. The original version appeared on Air New Zealand years ago. Here's the economics. A Polaris suite takes the footprint of roughly four economy seats. That would be a single first-class ticket. A 4,000 one-way transatlantic route for a Polaris suite, that's $1,000 per seat equivalent of revenue. A Relax Row takes three economy seats, sells for $3,000 to $5,000 as a unit, and requires zero cabin reconfiguration. That's huge. That's $1,000 to $1,700 per seat equivalent with almost no incremental cost. Relax Row threads the needle between what average people are willing to pay so their kids don't lose their effing minds on a long flight and have a place to lay down and go the fuck to sleep for a little bit, or dad to pass out at some point. I would assume if you're a family of four, mom and dad, two kids, you'd buy three in a row economy. You'd buy the three across in front, and you might take turns taking naps up in the three. I don't know. Relax Row apparently threads the needle economically and is going to bring incremental revenue. We'll see how much they charge for it. There's apparently going to be dynamic pricing based on the typical American willingness to pay on their new product. We'll see. Says this aviation guy, they wrapped it in a plushie because they give you a plushie with these three seats. They wrapped it in a plushie, he says, because the highest margin seat in commercial aviation does not fit on a boarding pass. The United Relax Row. We shall see. Coming up, Armin and Butchie join me, talk tournament and more. You're listening to the Zabecast.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Armin and Butchie are here on the Zabecast. Armin is freaking out because he's got to go through O'Hare tomorrow to get to Vegas on Frontier. Butchie, what do you rate Armin's chances with the TSA madness, Frontier Airlines,
ice,
just the general luck of the draw?
He's got to get there 4.5-5 hours early.
Right.
I mean, it's right. easy, 5 hours, easy.
Is it bad at O'Hara? Like, I have not seen O'Hara's numbers. I know Houston's terrible.
Yeah.
Atlanta's terrible.
Philly is terrible. Philly is always terrible.
Well, what is O'Hara not?
Philly are always terrible in general. Like, that shouldn't be new.
You're right. And O'Hara's always busy, too. Now, I do have a later in the day flight, which might help. I heard the morning ones are worse. I do have the global entry clear, whatever it is, TSA pre-check.
Oh, do you really have clear? Because guess what?
No. He's got pre-check. He doesn't have clear. Let's clarify that.
He has global entry clear. He just said.
I think I do, Butchie. But those lines are just as long.
Is it pre-check or clear? It's two different things.
I went to get it.
But you think you have it. There is no think. That's like being almost pregnant. Either you do have it and you know it, or you don't.
Well,
you're not.
Well, but my thing is, it never mattered in Milwaukee because every line is two people deep.
I know. And there's a nice recombobulation area right after you get.
No, and the thing is, I like to be with the people anyway, the blue collar people, the regular people. I don't want to be elite, you know? I'm not elite, so.
Okay, so here's the thing about Clear. Do you see this, Butchie? They actually shut down Clear at Houston several days ago. We're just not using it. I don't know how this is not a massive, immediate, instant fraud case, a lawsuit against Clear, whatever they are, whoever they are, saying, I paid for this product, and now you're just like, nah. As our boy Josh likes to say,
he all loves that. Well, if you think about all these extra levels of pre-check, they eventually become self-referentially useless because if everyone does it, then it's no longer useful.
Correct. It becomes self-defeating. But right now, you definitely need it, certainly at certain airports. But anyway, before you came on, Armin, Butchie once again went way too far apologizing to me that he would not be going to Zabe Vegas. And I said, please. I never really expected it.
Right? Yeah, but I said I was coming. Like, this is the thing. I said I was like, let's do this. And then the Badgers, and I'm like, wow, man, they got a Sweet 16. I'm not going to look at flights. Then I'm looking at flights, and now they're $1,000. And then I'm trying to figure out how to maneuver this and then how to So it, I gotta say it's no. Sometimes
quite all right, Butchie. I don't. That's I didn't expect it. I understand that it takes at least 2 to 3 invites of somebody to something before it finally hits. Like, these are pebbles I'm throwing into the stream.
I think
to be able to build up a little walkway of rocks to walk over. It takes, you got to sink a few first.
You do. You do.
And I think for me, when I thought about it, because I really wanted you to come too, Butch, because I think it'd be tons of fun to be doing this with you. Now, you know me. I love hanging out with you. All right. Now, this is not me being sappy or weird. I like you a lot. I love hanging out with you. And I always said, wouldn't it be fun to be in Vegas watching college games with Butch?
Yes.
So I didn't want, you know what they said in Hoosiers, getting to the state final is beyond our wildest dreams. Let's just keep it right there. That was kind of like, I didn't think that was going to happen. So I never let myself believe it. Part of the reason is, and I'm being honest with you, I thought Badgers were definitely going to the Sweet 16. And I'm surprised that what happened. They lost. I really am. I thought this team was ready to do it. So I'm like, we aren't going to have Butch. And it would be too hard for you to plan it, even if they did somehow get upset, which they did, because that's a short-term plan, which doesn't work well for Vegas. So
can I get,
no, it doesn't, because I looked at flights. And I was like, dude, I can't. This is
it's terrible. Yeah. You got to get ahead
of it. I found one for you. I actually screenshotted my video of it. I put it on Twitter. I found one for you that was $437. The times to fly out of Madison, though, were horrific.
I'm not in Madison.
He's
I'm in
Appleton. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even price flights out of Appleton.
Somebody flies a nonstop junket from Appleton. Is
Allegiant.
It Allegiant, right?
Yeah.
But it's still expensive. That. Yeah.
That was $700 both ways.
All right. Let me get to the tournament. Can I just get a quick autopsy from you, Butchie, about the Badgers? What happened, in essence?
Well, so the same thing that happened to Arkansas, except Johnson, their three-point shooter, made the bomb against Wisconsin and then made a corner three. And when you have that, like, High Point shot 50%, 9 of 17 from three in the second half. I don't care who you're playing. If you allow a team to shoot 50% from three in a half, that team's going to win a half. Now,
they allow it, or did it just happen by virtue of the hot hand?
I think both is true.
Okay.
I think they let him get going a little bit. Mainly Martin, their little guard.
Yeah.
They let him get going. But Johnson, you know what he was, and he got hot. And I know Badger fans are going to say, well, now you're sticking up for him because you do the radio and this. But, like, the reality is, I thought Wisconsin played really well. Now, the floor balance at the end of the game, like that, you can't let that happen. Now, that's players trying to go get the offensive rebound. Johnson, only 2-point bucket of the entire year.
That was the thing.
Loss contained on 99. Wow.
Well, I thought JB ran in at when he shouldn't have. I thought he was the top guy. JB runs in and tried to go get an offensive rebound, and there just was no need for it. You know, you either get it or your big gets it. The other side of it was Nolan Winter brought his defender closer to the basket because he was trying to get in rebounding position. So you have two guys that are willing and trying to, you know, will this team to a win, and both guys created bad things. Nolan's guy came over, was the one to block it, and then JB ran in, and his guys, you know, he was floor contained, and he gives up the layup.
But crashing the boards there might win you the game. So I understand the instinct, because you might be in position to get an offensive rebound or a putback where that Chase Johnson's never leaked out for a fast break bucket all year. So it's hard for me to sit here and say the instinct was wrong.
You're up one. You can't lose there.
Yeah. So I get it.
Absolutes.
You got to fade
towards the absolutes. Absolutely don't let that happen. Like somebody, Butch, you said, you can't let Iowa get their guard going downhill and then trailing him in the final seconds.
As soon as Sturtz caught that ball on the run. So anytime you inbound the basketball, if you're up, down, whatever, like, you want to have the receiver of the ball catching the ball going
the wrong way.
Yeah.
Back to the wrong basket they're trying to score at to make it sticky and hard to get up court. But Todd Golden, being an analytics douchebag, decided he was going to press like they were down to in that spot, which was completely idiotic. Now, I want to get to his thing about fouling up to.
Do you believe that?
He believes in it.
Do you believe he was going to?
He said he wanted to foul one of the role players.
He said he wanted to.
You believe in everything the coaches say now?
Well, I guess not. Yeah. Maybe it's like in The Sopranos when Uncle Junior says, and I'd like to fuck Angie Dickinson. Let's see who gets lucky first, you know?
Now, the data I know you hate analytics, blah, blah, blah.
Data guys, Armin, say it's a proven strategy.
Well, I
brought that up. He is heavy analytics. So I actually kind of do believe him. I just thought it was one of those things. Like, what are you even talking about? But
let's say something here. Every college coach is heavy analytics now because they help you win and everyone wants an edge in winning. No one's out there saying we're ignoring data. So
let's, more than others, Armin. You know that. There's still some old school guys out there that are less analytical.
Well, who won the national title last year? Okay. Okay, so Todd Golden. Okay, so now I'll say this.
Who lost to Iowa this year? Like,
okay, so it's not a proven thing either way, but I'm saying he's done something right. And maybe that's just having good players. But
well, he's got some really good players, Armin. Let's be real here.
Guess what? Every national champion's had good players. Everyone. Yeah. That's part of the game.
That's because you need them to win.
Right. So how do you set an edge? You can still try and build an edge. So just because he's had good players doesn't mean he didn't do something right strategy-wise. But my point is this. I saw one thing that said it might give you a 4% edge. I saw something that says it doesn't give you an edge. I don't know that the math is consensus on this. But he's right in saying, or someone said, they wanted to do it, but the fan base would freak out and blame you. It's no different than going for it on fourth down, and then it slowly became accepted.
Well, you either do it or you don't do it. Who cares about the fan base, Armin?
Because all these coaches want to keep their job. They don't want to be blamed for losing. So it's easier to not get blamed for losing if you don't do something that they deem is the wrong coaching move by the consensus standard. Don't you think, Butch?
The point Armin's making, and I see what you're saying, Armin, somebody on a comment thread about the whole concept of fouling up to, an NBA coach told the analytics guy, yes, we understand it gives a 4% edge, but our fans would go crazy. Meaning, our fans are not ready for this. Sort of like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future when he plays a guitar solo, Armin, and then everyone stands around, and he's like, yeah, I guess you guys aren't ready for this. Sometimes people are not ready for certain strategies that are statistically better to employ.
You also got to follow the right guy.
Going for two now where we're at with football. Going for two up, you know, 14, down 14, go for two. People don't agree with that, but guess what? Now they're getting on board.
Well, what about fourth down culture? It's the same thing. It's out of control. Now everybody goes for it all the time.
Fourth down culture?
Fourth down culture is out of control. But everyone's trying to win, and everyone wants to win, so they're going to always try and find an edge. So I'm having enough of people ripping on analytics and data. If you don't want to look at one number again, ever, that's your right, but you will lose because of that. You will lose to the people who work harder to find edges.
Okay.
No, just because you want nerds to have more jobs, this isn't right either. There's something called a gut. There's something called a feel that you've got to have. Nerds don't want to need to have more jobs. Yes, our numbers in place, sure. But to sit here and go and make this all about analytics, that's not right either.
Well,
there's a gut that's going to be always, there is a gut feel that will always be in play in athletics, period.
All right. I'm not disagreeing.
Can we pivot to a couple other things? What do you think about technicals and coaches, Butchie? I think Mick Cronin is a giant ass. Good coach, but an ass. Getting a T for clapping
was ridiculous.
How is that even allowed? Why don't referees get
when Danny Hurley's on the other side of it?
Yeah, there's that as well. So, I mean, what do you think? What is it with T's and coaches in college basketball? Where do you stand on that?
I think you have to have it at times because, again, they lay into these refs way too much. And, you know, especially Mick and Danny, both those guys. But, like, if you're going to give a T in the tournament, it better be worth it. Like, it better not be for just clapping because I didn't know what there was there. I didn't see much. Obviously, we weren't there. We don't know exactly what was said. But if you're going to give one, it better be pretty darn good. That one, I don't think it was, and it changed the outcome of the game. The other change of the outcome was the Duke game. When you look at how that played out, like
that whistle was so egregious, indefensible, heavy whistle for Duke.
And I don't like saying it a whole lot, but I agree with the flagrant, the this, like it just it correct.
Okay.
I got a question. What do you have to have the threat of a technical, though, because if you don't have the threat existing for coaches, they'll just go crazy. There's a point where we can't let them totally just disrespect what's going on, but I do totally agree with Butch. The threshold has to be higher. The 1974 NCAA final, Marquette and Kansas, Al got two technicals in that game. Now, Al McGuire always got technicals, so you can't really sit there and say it was unfair because he strategically got technicals a lot of the times. Back in the day, it was a different deal. But, you know, he got two technicals in the NCAA championship game. Is that ridiculous? Probably, but that's the reality. If you don't ever draw a line as a ref, this is where I'll defend refs, then you're going to have total chaos. And at some point, you have to draw a line. Also, as a coach, you have to be willing to go a little crazy if you feel like unfair things are happening for your team. So it's very tough, I think, on both sides. And as you know, Butch, officiating is not an easy profession. We rip on them sometimes fairly, but sure, it's not an easy profession.
All right. I got something that was a hot topic on a text thread with me and a couple of, well, one of them was Gitter, Mr. Former High School Basketball Referee. And another one was a college basketball fanatic who knows every referee, Butchie, in college basketball, knows their tendencies, their traits, who's good, who's bad, like a PhD when it comes to this stuff. He's like super psychotic about it. Here is the play. This is the Owe buzzer beater for Kentucky. Can you see this?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to play it for you once, and I'm going to ask you, what do you see? Okay, here was my problem. This referee right here. Watch as this ball goes down, what he does. Hands in the air, and right there, crow hop. A crow hop, and then an exaggerated fist pump. Good. I said, if I was this ref supervisor, I'd say, okay, we got a couple problems here. Number one. You don't need to. The ball's in the air. The horn's going off. You stop. You don't need to run into the frame to make sure you're in the highlight. That's number one. Number two, you don't need to jump up and crow hop and then do one of these. Like, you look like a fanboy here. Who's right, me or my buddies who are like, come on, man. He just got caught up in the moment.
I don't even think he got caught up in the moment. He got caught up in the mechanics. You're wrong. It's okay. But as you see, he's running down full speed to make sure where he needs to be at. The hand has to go up because the first one has to go up because it's a three. So as soon as the ball goes in, the next hand needs to go up for the mechanics to say that was a three-point shot. And then the bucket is good. That's the one that I'll agree. Maybe you could have that. Like, but as you can see, he's running back in. He knows they've got to go to the clock.
And what, they're going to miss going to the clock if he doesn't run at that point?
Well, and the other side of it is he's got to separate Kentucky and Santa Clara. Now, if you want to talk about the issue.
Them. They're not going to fight. It's like, come on.
Well, but you got to make sure there's crowd, there's bench control, there's all these mechanics. The bigger issue is, if you look, it's the first guy down of the official by the Kentucky bench that doesn't look at Santa Clara's bench to see as they call a timeout.
I know.
Well, that's also the bigger of it. If you want to pick on on one of those guys, I pick on the first guy down by the Kentucky bench.
Okay. Armin, weigh in on this.
What are you talking, Zabe? I can't understand. What goes through your head when you find these things to nitpick? I mean, your friends are absolutely right. This is a ridiculous nitpicking by you. Who cares? He's running toward the action because that's his job, and his momentum took him there. What do you want him to do? Stop on a dime? And then he's
want him to stop on a dime.
That's ridiculous. Who cares what he's doing?
Hold out and stop right here.
Why?
Because he's being a fanboy.
No, he's not. No, he's running full sprint. He's in the... First of all, humans, refs are human, so they will get caught up in the emotion of it, but I don't think this is an example. He has to make sure the scorer sees the signal, right, Butch?
Correct.
So he's got to swing his arm hard. Well, why wouldn't you?
Why does he need? They don't need to see shit. Elway launches it from 40 feet. They know it's
What do you want him to do in the middle of the biggest moment of the game when he's sprinting down? You want him to think about, I better stop and not look too excited. I don't know what you're talking about here. I'm sorry.
I want him to proper mechanic so he doesn't look like a fanboy or like a guy. Or like a guy who had money on Kentucky. That's what I want.
No, come on.
This position.
What part of the internet do you look at?
Let that thing play. I'm looking at the guy that by the bench.
So the bench guy is actually the lead official. Because the trail guy is late getting down the court. He's way over here.
I never would have seen this and thought about this.
Well, did the other guys do the same thing as this dude here?
That's what I'm trying to look. Play it out.
Pimpy McPimperson? No. In fact, the trail guy just does this and stands still. It's Pimpy McPimperson who's like, yeah! Pimpy
McPimperson. I don't get it. I don't see the problem at all. I'm sorry. Now, baseball umpires used to be a lot more animated than they are now. All their strike three calls are boring now. I wish baseball umpires, they used to kick their leg up in there and do wild stuff. And they used to be a lot more demonstrative, I feel like.
Remember the Naked Gun umpire scene?
Yeah.
Nelson Murray's doing all this fancy shit.
I got a question. Why shouldn't the ref show emotion?
Because it looks bad, and you start to wonder. Well, first of all,
you're right. That the emotion by officials, you shouldn't have.
It's not.
Did you ever see Mendy Rudolph in the 70s and 80s? They go crazy.
Well, he would like stand over a guy and point at him, but that was when referees had the sizzle and the flair. I'm talking modern.
Okay, so we like that.
No, we don't. No, because here's the thing: we don't. For the ref show. This guy was being ref show guy. And I'm not saying fire him. I'm not saying suspend him. I'm saying I would talk to him as a supervisor going, nah, bro, this ain't it. In the St. John's game, if you watch the referees after that buzzer beater, all they do is this and they calmly walk off the court. And I then took that highlight. I shoved it in my boys' faces. I said, well, this is weird. I thought you said it was okay to get, you know, to go along for the ride and have some fun as a referee. What are these refs doing? They just did this?
If I was a ref, I'd be doing crazy stuff. You know, the block call, Butch, when they come in slamming their hips hard with the block call. I will agree that there are some refs in the past that you'd be playing like I'm sure you experienced, you played Butch. Well, they'll point at you like when it's a foul on you, like you committed a murder. Like you.
And I always wanted to say, no shit, Sherlock. I know it was on me. Thank you.
Dave, you're the only guy I know that would actually notice and have a big take on this, which I appreciate about you.
All right. One thing on the NBA, the Nets, Wizards and Pacers are in an epic tank off right now. 39 straight losses between the three teams. That's incredible. 0-39 heater right now.
Well, the Bucks should be in it as well.
The Bucks should be in it as well.
I don't know what the Bucks are doing. The Bucks
just recently cut Cam Thomas.
Yeah.
Is it true that Cam Thomas wanted $30 million this offseason, turned down $10 million, settled for $6 million, and is now out in Wisconsin with the Bucks? Is that the timeline of Cam Thomas? Because I saw that he wanted way too much. He turned down, I think, a good deal for like $20 million or something, settled for 1 year for $6 million.
Yeah, it could have been bet on himself. The Bucks side of it's very simple, which I've seen on Twitter that there's people that don't understand why the Bucks have done this, and it's very simple. So tell me you don't actually pay attention to sports, and you throw it there with, I have questions, and then what is going on? Like, they need to convert Pete Nance to a full contract. They don't have enough roster spots because they signed Cam Thomas. So they have to cut somebody. They cut Cam so that they can convert Pete Nance to a full two-way, because, or to a full NBA standard contract. It's that simple.
Yeah.
like the whole sports media right now in Wisconsin, I can't listen to it because they have no idea what – there's zero basketball people. Armin, I understand you. I'm just saying in general, like – there's zero people that understand the process of why they do this.
No, you're right.
I look at Twitter and I go, tell me you haven't paid attention to the NBA at all. But whatever.
I still exist here. Okay.
No, you do. Yes. I'm just saying.
I know. I'm kidding.
Armin, you're from 5 to 8 in the morning. There's other radio that's on where people don't have a clue or TV or whatever. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Understand
the damn game.
I'm just being funny. I know. Yeah.
So anyways, that's why they did that. But yes, I believe your timeline's correct.
Bigger question, Armin, is what are your Bucks doing? What are they doing?
They're just trying to get to the end of the year and then I guess try and re-sign Giannis or at least have him sign the extension. But who knows, really? I think they had dreams of trying to make a plane at one point, but that ended. So I think they're just trying to get to the end of the year.
Are you confident they've got a direction? Are you confident?
No. I'm not confident they have a direction that's going to be something besides, you know, a long rebuilding process. Their direction probably is try and re-sign Giannis to hang on to the relevancy of having Giannis. Whether or not they have a plan and that they're all on board with, including Giannis and the front office and coaching, I don't. I don't know who the coach is going to be. I don't know what Giannis' future is. I don't know if we're going to trade him. I don't know what the return will be. But listen, I mean, empires rise and fall, and we're on the back end of it. And whenever that day is, we're going to take a long time rebuilding.
I'll say this. I talked
to resignation, Butchie, in Armin's voice. He should be angry. Yeah. He should be more despondent. I don't even know who this guy is.
Why should I be angry at what?
He's done. I'll say this much, and then drop it. I'm going to do something on Butchie's Den on YouTube. Give that a follow.
Yes, please.
I need about 70 more subscribers here to kind of, you know, pop this thing. But
Butchie's Den. Keep making fake accounts.
Thank you, Armin. I need all the help I can get. Butchie's Den at YouTube. Go at Brian_Butch32. Find it on YouTube, Butchie's Den. That being said, I did talk to two Bucks front office people yesterday, higher up front office, as I was calling a herd game last night, and I asked them, point blank, I go, you guys all good? And the first guy gave me an answer. Yeah, you know, we're good. No. I said, are you guys good? He gave me another, we're good. We're good. I said, hey, that's not what I'm getting at. I go, are you good? You guys are terrible this year. I go, how are you guys doing? He goes, oh, yeah, I know. I said, after the third time, he goes, yeah, you know, the noise isn't as loud as it seems to be. So take that for what it is.
The noise inside the building?
The noise in general. He said, take that as you would like to take it. I said this. I go, the noise is as loud as it is. It's been crazy. I hope y'all are right. Bottom line is, y'all need to win. If you don't want to change your zip code, bottom line is find ways to turn this thing around quick.
But now that you told them that, you know why the noise is not loud for them? They got a good pair of these noise-canceling fucking headphones. That's what they got. Wake up. The whole thing is crumbling. Wake the fuck up.
Well, I think they know that, Butch. Everybody in coaching knows that they have to win to keep their job. I think maybe what he's saying is like, there isn't as turmoil on the inside as people think. That doesn't mean they're good. That doesn't mean they're going to be good. Maybe that's an indication of what they expect Giannis to do when the extension decision comes up. That's what it's all about.
Maybe he knows I'm in the media and I'm not going to keep it quiet. He said, oh, I'm good. I'm good. Three different times for me to kind of somewhat get
maybe
an answer.
Maybe there's nothing
to say. It's hot in the kitchen. Don't put your hand on the stove.
Maybe the stove's not hot.
The stove's been on for about a year and a half. The stove's been on ever since they decided to keep Bobby Portis. His ass should have been gone a long time ago.
Well, maybe the stove has been used to cook a meal the last 10 years, and that's
so
it.
The reason I get so ticked is very simple. I want them to be good.
They've been good. Here's what I want to end with, okay? Are there too many players named Jalen in the NBA? Have you seen him? This Butchie is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen.
NBA. I think it's way too many Jalen's in the NBA. Went to sleep and it was 10 Jalen's in the NBA. Woke up and now it's 30 Jalen's in the NBA. What happened?
We got Jalen Smith on the Bulls. And Jalen with a Y playing for the Timberwolves. Think it's a joke, but I'm actually earnest. To tell the truth, that ain't even really scratching the surface. It's a 607 players on a court playing. 16 teams got a player named Jalen. And it's really
Jalen.
Jalen's on three teams. That's got to be like 50% of the league. In the crib trying to figure what it all really means. I know their mama raised them like my son is my king. And I could probably recognize them all by facial. And I wouldn't be surprised if they was all biracial. Look, why so many Jalen's in the NBA? I think it's way too many Jalen's in the NBA. Went to sleep and it was 30 Jalen's in the NBA. Woke up and now it's 80 Jalen's in the NBA. We got Jalen Hood up on the Lakers. Wilson on the Nets. Jalen Smith is on the Pacers. Can't forget Jalen Durant is on the Pistons. Another Jalen out of Sacramento where the Kings is. Bridges, Harris, Williams on the Thunder. A lot of place bets on where the next one's gonna come from. My money on New York, the Chicago. Cities with the most white baby mamas, far as I know. And the NFL is even more insane, dude. You ever seen Jalen Hurts and Speedy in the same room? Next draft, more Jalen's in a fold. And it's all thanks to the legendary Jalen Rose. But it's already way too many Jalen's in the NBA. Why so many Jalen's in the NBA?
Why so many Jalen's in the NBA?
Oh, my God.
When I first heard that, I played it like 10 times. That's so good. That should be a top 40 hit. It should be on Spotify. Like, really, that guy has talent. That's going to be great.
Went
that
to bed.
So good. That
woke up, there's 30 Jalen.
Now, obviously, it's a popular name for the generation, you know? So,
but it's spelled a million different ways.
J-A-I-L-Y-N-J-A-Y-L-E-N-J-A-Y-L-A-N. What else is, like, it's crazy.
All right.
It's no different than, every generation has popular names.
Butchie's Dan on YouTube. Please subscribe and watch. It's great content out there. Follow him on social media as well. Listen to Armin and Billy and Drew every morning on the Big 920 in Milwaukee. Fox Sports 920 in Milwaukee. That's the new name of it. Armin, next stop, we hope, is the Luxor for you at the cab stand where I will meet you and greet you. With open arms as Zabe Vegas begins. Knock on wood for Frontier and the TSA at Chicago, okay?
Yeah, I'll get there eventually. I can't wait to be there for all the festivities. Can't wait to be in the Luxor, which is still a great hotel. All right, it's still a great place to be.
It's not a great hotel.
I can't wait to get a few hours.
Zabe Hardos from all over the country. I got them literally from everywhere, from San Antonio, Texas, to Sacramento, California, Indiana, East Coast, you name it. Got a guy coming in from Monterey, Mexico, believe it or not.
About that. I'm excited to meet some of the Zabe fans. Excited to be here finally. I've already been contacted by Eric Gitter to try and play some wagers on his behalf, so it's fantastic.
Hang up on him.
Don't do that.
Kidding. You can't do that, right? Or can you? I don't know.
All right, boys. Good to talk to you as always. Thank you.
All right, sir.
Thanks, guys. Good seeing you.
Couple emails to read before I'm done today. Zabe@yahoo.com is how you reach me. This one from Betsy Husek. Hey, Zabe, my nephew is a teacher in the Loudoun County School District. Without even asking him, I know if you wanted to get that St. Paddy's Day tradition of going out to the bars drinking early in the morning like they do in Wisconsin, he'd be first in line to do it. Well, yeah, because he's from Wisconsin. He's now living in Loudoun County. On another note, says Betsy, my husband is having a heart catheterization tomorrow, being performed by your favorite and likely only donut-providing cardiologist, Todd Fergus. Oh, yeah, Dr. Todd, Green Bay's finest. At a previous appointment a couple years ago, I asked him if he was going to be dropping off donuts to you and Josh at the tailgate show. He was a little surprised I knew about that. He loves your show, or loved it, as much as I did, and I'm sure he misses it as well. I'm sure the subject will come up tomorrow. Loyal 1% listener, Betsy Husek. Thank you, Betsy. I appreciate that. John Bascom says, tastes like all threes. Zabe, I will see your Chase Johnston stat line from this season, 0 for 4 from inside the arc before he daggered the Badgers, and raise you one. Ever heard of Max Hooper? From Oakland's 2016 team, not only is the man's name literally Max Hooper in basketball, but he went a sparkling 117 for 257 from three that year, 45%. And he was 0 for 0 from two. 257 shots, and his foot didn't even hit the three-point line once all year. Incredible. Sure, put Chase Johnston's number 99 jersey in the rafters at High Point. He's awesome. But did I mention Max Hooper's name is literally Max Hooper? That's Hall of Fame worthy right there. And I'm not even an Oakland fan. Just love me some threes. Enjoy the tourney. Long shot, Johnny. Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate that. Then there's this, Michael Marks. He says, Chris Nockey, Zabe, Nockey can go F himself, as we like to say in Jersey here, calling Rutgers a, quote, dumpster fire when we swept his beloved Terps in football and in hoops this year. Oh, that is rich. Our new AD, who we're very pleased with so far, had a response, if you care to see it, to the fireworks report that went viral. Kelly Zinn is, I guess, the new Rutgers AD. Let me look it up. I believe it's a woman. K-E-L-I Zinn Rutgers. Oh, there she is, director of athletics. Okay. She is from Petersburg, Virginia, apparently. All right. Petersburg, West Virginia. Named interim director of athletics. Okay. I don't know the deal there, but apparently they're happy with her. Here's what he wrote, or here's what she wrote. Rutgers did not spend $191,159 on fireworks. That number includes fireworks, drone shows, cryo, and other fun and exciting experiences for our fans. Hope to see a future article including all those costs for every school in the country. She's got a good point, which is, hey, if your team kind of sucks, and they do kind of suck, although they beat Maryland, so what does that say? Then you got to sell the sizzle. You got to do more than just say, here's our football team, hopefully we'll win again. And so, yeah, it's part of the budget. And I would like to know about some of the other budget expenditures in the Deep South, the SEC. Whether they spend it on fireworks or perhaps recruiting visits, lobster tail, don't know. P.S., says Michael Marks, Rutgers continues to be a target in the media because there is still media covering them, unlike Maryland, and also because we're in the New York market. So enjoy, tell Nockey to enjoy the Terps and their now non-existent media coverage. Sincerely, Michael Marks. That is a Jersey-style beatdown right there. But in love, in fairness, just to be educational, so... Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. That's it for me today. Thank you so much. Pray to the travel gods in my favor on all fronts. Obviously, with the horrific crash up in New York at LaGuardia, which, believe me, those of you who have emailed me going, hey, when are you going to get one of your pilot guys on to talk about this? I'm like, oh, we're going to talk about it. But I want to see more of what comes out about what happened. Should have never happened. Holy shit. Running into a fire truck. But it was a clusterfuck that night up there, apparently, from what I've read. So let's hope that everything goes smoothly. TSA is fine. Let's pray for a middle seat open, shall we, in 32F? That's not going to happen. You're too cheap to upgrade. Okay, fine. Cram in. Jam my head against the window with my neck pillow and just try to sleep the flight away. Thanks for listening. Rate and review for those coming to see me in Vegas. I will see you on the ground out in the 702. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.